This morning, in our reading from the prophet Isaiah, we encounter language that should be relatively familiar to us, even if not the exact words. Because what we hear from the prophet Isaiah should take us back to Good Friday, as we hear the song of the suffering servant, or at least a portion of that, which occurs in, I think it's beginning in chapters 50 or so of Isaiah. This one being in fact chapter 53, and certain elements of those chapters comprising this song of the suffering servant. And Isaiah reminds us that through the servant's suffering, he will justify many, and their guilt he shall bear. And if we don't immediately jump to Jesus Christ on Good Friday, if we do, I wouldn't be surprised, I guess, because he is that suffering servant, one whom we recognize has suffered and died for us. And so, rightly do we say in the responsorial psalm that we place our trust in you. Jesus Christ, as the letter to the Hebrews reminds us, is that high priest who has been similarly tested in every way, yet without sin. Similarly tested in every way. He knows, he has experienced every test that we might go through in life, whether it's temptation or sorrow or pain, whatever testings we might experience, everything that we experience in life, he has experienced, except without sin. And so it's right that author of the Hebrews says, we confidently approach the throne of God to receive mercy and to find grace for timely help. We can approach the throne of God because he is a God who became fully human, a God who has become one with his creation. Then we come to this gospel from Mark, and I love James and John, the sons of thunder. So confidently do they say, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. Wow. If only we were so bold at times. And so he asks them that question, Can you drink the cup that I will drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'll be baptized with? And of course they say, We can. Now, Christ, of course, puts them in their proper place. You can't just go sit at my right and my left because I don't even have that decision. That's the Father's. But they will drink. They will partake as they participate in the baptism of martyrdom. James in the red martyrdom of shedding his blood as the first apostle killed, the only apostle that we hear about in the Bible in the Acts of the Apostles. John through the white martyrdom of purification that all of us are called to by virtue of our baptism. To give our life to follow Christ, to be servants, not lords and rulers, but to humble ourselves. And just as Christ gave his life as a ransom for many, so too we are called. For just as he has shared in our sufferings and our pains and our sorrows and all our trials, we are able to share in his salvific act. Through our prayers, our sufferings, uniting them with his. And so we come to Mass today. We come to Mass to sit before him, to worship him, to adore him. Before his throne, in order to humble ourselves, but also to enter into heaven. As heaven and earth are joined and the past and the present come together in the Eucharist. But in order to do so, we need to be actively engaged. And this can be a battle at times as we think about what else is going on in our lives, as our minds wander. And yet, how much goes on and is right before us in this Mass. And we can miss it. We can miss it because We can't seem to focus. Now, if you're a parent tending to a young child, you have an excuse, a way out. But helping that child to be able to appreciate this great gift becomes your responsibility. Because we come before our God, enthroned in glory, yet disguised as bread. It may appear to be bread still. It may taste like bread. But it is really, truly God, the suffering servant, who has united himself with us in our humanity. Because our God is not a distant God. He is close, real close, so close. Not just like there standing right before us, but one who enters in to our very bodies, our very souls, into our hearts. To be united with us, to help us, to guide us, to strengthen us as we journey through this life. He is a God who has been tested in every way that we are and have been and will be. One who has died for each one of us out of love for you, out of love for me. One who has suffered the death of a criminal that you and I might have life, life to the full, life in heaven. One who has been raised from the dead so that we might gain access to heaven. One who desires a relationship, a personal relationship with each and every one of us. This is the awesome gift of our God, expressed in this Eucharist, expressed when we come here and recall and experience His passion, His death, His resurrection and ascension into glory. This is what set those apostles on fire through the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives, set them out into the world, gave them the grace to die for Christ, to shed their blood, to plant the seeds of the church of which we are part of and now enjoy. So the question is, how do we accept it? Are we on fire? I would challenge that we're not. You and I are probably dead most of the time. Because at times I think we can ignore God whom we receive in this Eucharist. And yet, the reality is, we can be so full of life, the life that He gives us, the life that He presents to us, when we come before Him, when we receive Him. And there are many of you who have experienced that, have experienced that life and that joy, but there's so many more of us who I think at times come to Mass and we just kind of go through the motions. We kind of go through the motions at times. And we don't enter in and we don't actively engage. And this is the challenge that is presented to us every time we come to Mass. To really worship our God, to come before Him. Maybe we don't want to. Maybe our excuses are it's inconvenient or unpopular or whatever, fill in the blank. But our God is loving and merciful. This is why we come approaching with confidence that despite our failings, despite our sinfulness, He welcomes us back into His loving embrace, into His loving arms. Because He wants us, desires us. So we pray that He gives us the grace once again to help us. Because if we think we can cruise this life and sort of slide into heaven, something to think about, something to explore. It doesn't happen so simply. He engages us and calls us to engage with Him in our prayers. May we not take for granted the awesome gift of our God, who comes to us and calls us into the most beautiful of relationships with Him.